You're listening to Agile Ideas, the podcast, hosted by Fatima Ibuchi.
For anyone listening out there not having a good day, please know there is help out there. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Agile Ideas, the podcast. I'm your host, Fatima Ibuchi. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today, talking all things project management for beginners. I've worked in project management for over 16 years now, and there is a constant assumption that everybody knows what it means to be a project manager or what the term project actually even means. This is even more true for myself when I first started out in the corporate industry at the early age of 17, where I had the opportunity to become part of project teams, not knowing what a project even was. In fact, I'd barely heard that term and didn't know what it meant and how that differed from the work that I did day to day at the time as an admin assistant in an organization that I was part of, or how that related to the work that I'd done in retail early on in those years. So I thought that it would be prudent to share a little bit more insight for those that are maybe not familiar with project management. Maybe you're looking to get into project management as a career path, which I do highly recommend, by the way, and I'll talk more about that. But also for those that maybe work with other project managers or project teams and constantly asked for input. Maybe you're a subject matter expert in a particular area of an organization. Maybe you are a human resources expert. Maybe you're an expert in sales. And regardless of the area, you may be called on from time to time to provide input to projects. So I thought that I would do this podcast about project management and restate that it is a beginner's podcast. So if you are not familiar with project management, or maybe you're in your very, very early stages of project management, this would be relevant for you. If you are listening and it's something that you are more familiar with, there might be some insights that you may find helpful. Otherwise, you're more than welcome to share this episode with people in your family or your friends or work colleagues that maybe are not so much familiar with project management. So let's get into it. Now, when we talk project management, really fundamentally, when I'm referring to it, project management, regardless of the industry or the company or the country that you are talking to, it's a universally recognized profession and a term that's very familiar in the 16 countries that I've had the pleasure of working within in project management. It always meant the same thing, although we all know that although all project professionals speak project management, languages can be different depending on where you are. And I don't mean the actual dialect. I just mean my my definitions, my understanding, and what projects means to me may slightly vary to how others perceive it for how they use project management, because it is such a broad profession, a broad spectrum of things can apply to it. And so one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast as another reason to share more insights is because I not only was one of those people who would hear project managers be engaged and paid a lot, mind you, but not actually understand what the hell they were talking about, why, you know, they would often get a huge amount of floor space in a building, or their sometimes floors entire building floors. I've seen that happen a few times, and actually be brought together usually by a program director or program lead, something like that, and actually given a number of different responsibilities for them to achieve and deliver on. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So there's a lot of different reasons why project management is really important and really relevant. Not only is it applicable in every single organization that I have been a part of, but I am sure that it's also part of every organization you've possibly ever dealt with. It's just part of business.
And the way I like to describe it is in organizations, there is, you know, the operational day-to-day activities, which we'll talk about in a moment, and then there's the project activities. So I kind of see it as a 50-50 split. Some companies, it's, you know, more operations than projects and vice versa. But let's get into the details about project management. Let me say that project management itself, as I mentioned, it, if done well, it can produce positive change and it can help individuals, it can help departments, it can help companies overall. But when we think about the fundamental definition of project management, now, what is it and what does it mean? Well, project management is the careful effort of planning and organizing to successfully achieve one's goal easily. The term project means a single time action that produces specific and certain results. Now, let's just break that down a little bit. Now, in this definition, it does refer to the term easily. Projects are far from easy. They can be very complex. Depending on the size and complexity, and depending on the size of the organization and what you're trying to achieve. So I'd probably say not necessarily easy, but the idea here is if you plan properly and you cover all of the important aspects of project management, which we'll cover, you should be able to deliver a project successfully. The other part of this definition is around a single time action. Now, single time action can refer to a number of different things, but in the context of project management, it basically represents something that has a definitive end. For example, when referring to something that is not a single time action, I would refer to payroll, for example. Processing a payroll is not a single time action. Why? Because you process payroll every month or every week or every fortnight. So running a payroll would not constitute a project, because remember, projects need to be single time actions. Using the payroll example, let's talk through what the project equivalent would be. Let's say that you are a medium-sized organization and you're scaling fast. You're growing at rapid speed, and now you realize you need to update your payroll system so that you can adapt to the growth of your organization. Now, coming in and introducing a new payroll system, changing from maybe one that you were using previously to maybe one in the cloud, will be something that you would likely do once. You may do it again in future, but typically that's considered a single time action. And then the final part of a project, of the project management definition, is that produces specific and certain results. Now, what that refers to is typically projects have a defined sponsor. A sponsor is someone who fundamentally is paying and funding that project to happen. And therefore, you would have predetermined goals and objectives that you're planning to achieve with their money in order to deliver the successful result. So specific and certain results are predetermined results upfront that you plan to achieve by successfully delivering a project. So if I reread the project management definition, it's project management is the careful effort of planning and organizing to successfully achieve one's goal easily. The term project means a single time action that produces specific and certain results. So that's really simply the project management definition. Project management, though, has a number of attributes that are relevant, and there's some key principles that I'll cover off today as well. Ultimately, when we think about project management, there's a number of things to consider. When we are working within an organization, you will be faced with projects and what I'm going to term operations management. Now, if you are working in HR or sales or marketing, it doesn't mean that just because you have a lot of tasks that relate to operations, such as processing payroll, setting up marketing campaigns, or handing out brochures, for example, they may constitute operational tasks. But in those areas, you may still run projects. Now, in a lot of organizations, they, depending on the size, they might have full teams that do their project management for them, entire functions, departments, projects can run within a particular area. They could be a delivery office underneath IT. They could be standalone function. It could just be one project manager. It really varies depending on the size of the organization. But regardless, project management and operations typically exist in every organization. So what are a few of the differences between project management and operations management? Well, when we think about project management, think about temporary project duties, something that is providing a unique output and it's terminated when the objective is achieved. For example, if I was implementing that new payroll system or I was building a new warehouse, they would be projects. Where I'm thinking about operations management, it's day-to-day activities, repetitive outputs, and adopting a new set of objectives once they are achieved. So you think about this, you think about running your payroll or managing the warehouse as operations management. When we think about project management, any project manager you talk to and anyone that's had anything to do with project management will often refer to something called the project management triangle. It's also called the triple constraint, the iron triangle, and the project triangle. It fundamentally shows a model of the constraints of project management. So if you think of a triangle, and at the top of the triangle, there's the term scope. On one side, there's cost. On the other side, there's time. And in the center, you've got the term quality, which refers to the quality of the work that you're planning on meeting. When we think about the scope, that is the features. What is it that you're trying to achieve and what sort of features will be included in whatever it is the project that you are about to implement? And then you think about the cost, and that is back to what is the funding available to deliver said project and what is the time frame. Now remember, projects come in all shapes and sizes, and ultimately, when we think about the project management triangle, which is one of the first things you learn in project management, you realize that project management triangle must always be a triangle. Meaning if you extend out the scope, the top part of the triangle, you will automatically need to adjust the time and the cost because you always need to have three balanced sides. Sometimes when clients expect for something to be done cheaply, they may have to reduce the time and the scope available within that project. And so ultimately, if any of the three areas of the project management triangle are varied, they will automatically affect the others. So that's referred to as a project management triangle. When we think about project management, there's another element. Well, there's a lot of elements, but there is another element that I'd like to reference. And that is something that I refer to as delivery styles. So just like many other professions, there are different methods and processes to go about delivering whatever it is that you're working on. In project management, I refer to it as delivery styles. The reason for that is because there are a number of different methodologies. And a methodology is something that provides you an overview of a particular way of delivering projects specific to that organization or that institute that has created it. So I don't want to talk about the specific methodologies because that would be a whole nother podcast, but more about the delivery styles. And I really like to narrow it down to basically the two predominantly universal ones. Some would argue there's probably three, but I'm going to stick with two for now. Now, a delivery style is referred to as waterfall or agile. Now, in some organizations, many organizations, they may create a mixture of delivery styles using both elements of agile and waterfall, and they'll call it hybrid. That just means a mixture of the two. But fundamentally, you are either working in an agile way or you're working in a waterfall way. And so the delivery style that you choose to run your project in is important because they both operate very differently. For example, when we think about waterfall, exactly what you would imagine when you see a waterfall, the water trickles down layer after layer after layer. But you can't start at the bottom of a waterfall and then go to the top and then go to the – it needs to be sequential. And so with waterfall delivery styles, it typically means you do all your initiation and planning activities up front, regardless of what the project is. Then you move into execution and then you will move into closing the project. Whereas with Agile, it's a little bit different. It's if you're identifying what the scope that you want to deliver on is, you may work to build and define some of that scope up front, and then you might show that to the end customer or the sponsor or your stakeholders, and then continuously change and iterate what it is that you're delivering all the way through to closure. So you don't expect an immediate sign-off after several months of planning like you would in waterfall. You actually make changes as you go throughout that delivery style. And what it means is you can actually test what you're building with the customer and get live feedback as you go. Now, some people might think, oh, why would I choose one or the other over the other? Now, with waterfall, I believe there's a lot more stringent governance and control. With Agile, it's a little bit more free-flowing and there's a lot more frequent collaboration. And so there's a little bit less governance applied in that style. That being said, there's an assumption that governance is assumed and already taking place as a result of the work done closely with the customer and the sponsor and others in the team. So that's delivery styles. Neither one or the other is better. They just depend on how you like to run projects. When we think about project management, fundamentally it's a team, it's like a team sport. Every individual builds up their elements of the project, they have their own tasks, and all of the tasks within the project are typically heavily dependent on each other. As I mentioned before with the waterfall, you can't start at the bottom and forget about the top. They're all connected. And so as part of running projects, you need to understand and identify the fundamentals. And that is, what are the project objectives and goals that you're trying to achieve? How are you going to achieve them? Quantify the need for the resources. Resources could be hardware, software, time, of people. It could be a number of different things. And then also working out how long you've got to deliver that particular project. When you go through the planning activities, you also need to think about a plan of action or an action plan, or as we call it, a schedule of activities that you're going to undertake in a particular order to help you maintain the accuracy and the completion of those tasks and actions that helps you to meet those objectives that you planned, the scope that you've agreed, and also assists you in undertaking recovery actions when problems arise. So you need to have that defined. Now, a schedule can take many forms. The different forms and formats that it takes will vary by project manager. Some people like to use project management software tools and others will just use Excel. Some people might even use a notebook. I mentioned briefly around project management methods, which is another area of project management that I think is really, really vast and varied. There is so many different methodologies and I'm not going to spend time talking about them because I don't have a favorite. Obviously, the organizations will probably pick something that suits them, and most of the time it involves bringing the best elements of multiple methodologies into the into the project space within their organization. So methodologies are something that you will learn about and we can talk about in a different episode if you'd like more information about that. But when we think about projects and the schedule, how do you define what it is that you're going to deliver, and how do you break that down in a way that makes sense not only to you but to your project team and your sponsor and your customers and anyone else that needs to know what is happening in the project? Well, that is down to three letters, W, B, and S. Now, for those that are not familiar with projects, which I assume you are not, the work breakdown structure, rather, WBS, work breakdown structure, ultimately is a way to break down quite large objectives into smaller action-orientated tasks. For example, if I was building a house, think of that as your level one of your work breakdown structure. Now, building a house is too generic. There is no way that a team's going to be able to follow and build a house with just that simple one line scope item. So you need to break that down. So let's think about that. Let's say we break building a house into planning, and then we break down the house into a build section and another section for lockup. And there's a lot of different elements. And as you continue to break down the big chunky task at the top, you find that you start numbering the tasks beneath it sequentially. So you'll end up having a number of different layers. And as you go further and further in your work breakdown structure, it enables you to break down to the smallest manageable chunk. I like to recommend that your tasks are no more than 5 days in duration. So if I was breaking down the build of a house, and I was going to include something like plastering all the walls, depending on the size of the house. If it's a big one, it probably won't happen in 5 days. Well, maybe it will. But if you had to think about how you could break that down further, you'd probably break up the plastering, the prepping for paint, the letting it dry, all of the activities. So the further you break it down, the easier it is to manage and for people to follow as well that are working with you. So what are the benefits of project management now that we've talked through some of the fundamentals? Well, not only does it increase the quality of your business, well, it really can, because you will not only be able to develop new products and services efficiently, but hopefully using that approach that you take, you can lay down a path which is easy to follow, efficient and effective for everyone in your organization, so that you are working consistently and collaboratively. It will help you create a strong bond between your business and your customers, particularly if you are using an agile delivery style where you may bring your customer into the development process. It can help you be more competitive, because the more projects that are targeted at helping your business grow, you may be focusing on a number of things that will help advance your business. When you think about project management and benefits, you can't bypass the fact that it helps you also bring to the forefront of your mind a lot of risk management elements. Good project managers know how to do risk management really well. And so having good project managers or people learning about that can also help you to mitigate potential risks, because they may identify risks in their structured risk management approach that helps you think about that and how they may affect other parts of your business as well. For some of you who may be listening who run a smaller business like I do, or maybe looking at starting a small business in the near future, well, project management for small business, not only does it help professionalize your business, because the more effective and clear and well-produced products and services that you provide to the market, the more likely you're going to build a brand for quality and reputation, especially if the products and services that you're building are things that you can continuously improve through feedback from your customers, which is another another aspect of the agile style of project management. But it also helps you build team dynamics, because we always need a mixture of operational experience and project management experience in order to do project management well, whether those operational experts are providing some subject matter expertise, or sometimes they're tasked with running the project. So having people involved in projects not only gives them something fresh to think about outside their day-to-day operational role, but it also gives them opportunity to build team dynamics with their colleagues as well. So it can actually help you to motivate and empower your employees, particularly if they get the opportunity to work on fun projects and also be part of seeing the outputs of those projects. And then also by helping you to better manage your resources, such as time and budget and your people, you might maximize the efficiency in your business as well. We've certainly seen that in my business, and project management has really, really helped me significantly. So when we think about project management, there's a number of things to consider when thinking about how to make sure we're doing it right. And some of the key principles to keep in mind is thinking about whenever you decide to start a project, first and foremost, make sure you're focusing on the business need. The business need is imperative, because if you're not building something to help meet a business need, well, then you're probably wasting time and money. Involve the right stakeholders at the right time. We don't always need to have every stakeholder involved at the very beginning. So stakeholder matrices and stakeholder plans really help you plan out and map out when you need to engage such stakeholders throughout the project. Collaborate. Make sure your team members are empowered, whether it's with the right tools, the right processes, or the right approach for how you do project management in your business. Also think about building incremental feedback into your process as well. Remember to communicate continuously and clearly, and look at time boxing. Time boxing is a term for basically capping the amount of time you spend on a particular feature or a particular product, etc. I sometimes use it when I am doing some deep thinking. I might, you know, lock myself into a room and do some 4 hours of heavy delivery work or thinking, etc. But really, time boxing, it helps you to keep a focus on what you're trying to achieve. And then demonstrate control. Control just means maintaining control of what you said you're going to achieve, and doing so through regular progress reporting is a really important one that you can get your teams to ensure that they do as well. And then one of my favorite ones, keep documentation lean. If you have seen or worked in large organizations, particularly the ones that are, you know, dozens and dozens of years old, they have so much legacy processes and they are absolutely bogged down in it. And every time they have changes in their project management functions, there's just a constant rework and duplication, and it's just not very efficient. So while you're small, or while you're starting out, or while you've got a small team, or what maybe you're starting out in projects, think about keeping documentation lean, and have a traceability document that tracks all your documentation, and you know where it is and all the folder structures and whatnot. It can actually save you a lot of time and headache later down the journey as well. Ultimately, when we think about project management, they are some of the fundamentals. I'm sure there's a lot more things that I could have told you about. Maybe we can talk about that in another episode. I hope you've had some insight or some learnings from this one. Hopefully it's been helpful for you. There is a lot more to learn about project management. It's one of my absolute favorite things to do, and I can't imagine not being in an organization or in a role that doesn't enable me to work in projects. It's the greatest learning for me in terms of career choice and going down that path. Absolutely love it, and I think that you would too. So if you have any more questions or anything that you would like to know, please do reach out to us. You can do so on our website, www.agilemanagementoffice.com.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We welcome any feedback. Please let us know by going to www.agilemanagementoffice.com/agile ideas. You can also find us on most social media channels by searching Agile Ideas or follow me on LinkedIn. Thank you for listening. Please share or rate this if you enjoyed it. I hope you've been able to learn, feel, think, or be inspired today. Until next time, what's your Agile Idea?